Hello and welcome to our INE office hours call for the month of January 2016. And we have some new members here, so I want to make sure that we're really clear on what these calls are all about. These are the Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology office hours calls, and so as such, we have people from a variety of programs. Some folks are doing various programs self-study, other people are taking like in the digestive program, the CMDS. Still others are some people that got it as a shine bonus for a couple of months. And then we have our NEPT people who are more of our regulars. So these calls are intended for you to come and ask whatever questions you have. It could be about the content of a module or a program that you're studying. It could be a question about a particular clinical case. It could even be a question about, you know, something business related, like how do I, you know, sign up this new client or something along those lines. So really anything goes. The things that I want to avoid on these calls and use on our specific case studies calls is particular case studies. So if you've uploaded labs on a particular patient and want me to go through those, we have specific calls for that. So in the CMDS program, we have particular case study calls, and in February, we have an all-day case studies retreat. So that's the time for those, because these are more for like office hours, quick questions, that sort of thing. If you have questions about a particular lab parameter, you want to ask me about something, you know, somebody has a AST of 400 and what does that mean and what should I do? That's fine. And I'll ask you the right questions. But what we're not going to do on these calls is to upload cases and share screens with cases, because that gets to be, it just gets to be a little bit too much for the type of call that this is. So we have specific in NEPT, we're going to start to have monthly case study calls where you can upload your cases. And if you don't have cases, then I'll be uploading my own cases. And we'll give you directions on how to do that. In CMDS, we have a case study call. It's either next week or the week after. So we'll have that. And in any other programs, if you're in running a live program, then there's various case study calls. So I just want to make that clear, because I think some people were submitting cases, and we will do them for our NEPT call next week. We can do it, but this isn't the right time for doing that. So, yeah. So Lynn says, I had said that Alma could upload her case for today. Lynn, I misunderstood and thought you meant for the NEPT call. I wasn't clear that you wanted it for this. So cases are just, they take up too much time. And if nobody else has questions and somebody's the only person on the line, I may be able to do it. But it requires a lot of advanced work on my part to get that case up, to get it uploaded. The PDF wasn't available in the email that I got and things like that. So I just want to make sure that, you know, nobody's hurt. If you have particular questions, Alma, if you're on the line and you have particular questions about a case, please feel free to answer it. Ask me it, but we will cover it on our case study call. So, yeah, so the way that these calls work is if you're on the telephone, you can do a *2. And that'll raise your hand. If you're just watching on the web or listening on the web, you can type your question into the question box that's off to the side. We also have the Join Me open. And so I'll be looking at the Join Me. It's still running along from previous calls, but that's okay. Got a good links in there if you want to join. So if you want to do an interactive chat back and forth, then you can go on the join.me, which link is in there, join.me, and then put in Dr. Rita Marie as the conference ID. And then I'm going to look at the website, because there's a place on the website that where you can type for whatever program you're doing, whatever call you're coming on, you can type that. So let me go into the website and see if there's any in advance. And that you would find that if you're new to our community, you'll find that under the support tab across the top, and then you'll find the particular call that we're going to be having. So on this particular call, it's INE office hours. So I look on the INE office hours ask, and I look to see what questions are there. Now, if you're new to our community, to our NEPT community, we are going to be having monthly orientations for the website. So Lynn's going to do one at the end of this month. I think it's January 25th. And you're welcome to reach out to Lynn at any point in time if you're needing some help with navigating a website. The problem with having a huge website with lots and lots of resources is that it's huge and there's a lot of resources. So when you first get in, it could be a little bit daunting and overwhelming. The advantage of that is there's a huge amount of information for you and pretty much anything that you're going to need as you're really building up your clinical skill set is on that site. So the last question in there was in November, so there's no new questions there. And if nobody else has questions, Lynn, what I want you to do is send me the PDF of her. You sent me the email that had her case study in it, but you didn't send me the PDF that had the actual labs that she wanted me to look at. It just didn't come across in the email. Okay, so no questions have been typed in so far, but we do have three hands up. So that's where we'll start. And that was Alma, so yeah. I'm sorry that there was a misunderstanding. When Lynn said that to me, she didn't say maybe I misread it, but I didn't see INE call. I thought I saw NEPT call. And I was thinking it was the NEPT call that was next week. But if you have any particular questions about that case, and if Lynn can actually send me the PDF, which didn't come through in the original email, then I can see what I can answer on it. But I'm not going to put up the whole case and run through a complete case because those usually take about 15 minutes to do. I just opened your line.
Hi.
Yeah.
Actually, it was a pretty simple one because it's just a one page and there's only two questions on this. I had the 401H test done.
Yeah.
For one, on the bottom of the page, H. pylori antigen detected. Does this mean that I have this now? I have had it in the past, but it's been over 5 years.
Your stool, so it means that you've got it. If it's in the blood, it could be a past exposure, but if it's in the stool, it's active. Yeah.
So H. pylori antigen means it's definitely there.
It's definitely there, yeah. So that's the first thing to address in the stool test is to do some of that. Did you do Steph's core reset program with her?
No, but as a new, I think I'm supposed to be able to do that when she starts this year as a new NEPT student.
Right, you'll get access to that. In the meantime, if you go on the site and you go to the digestion module, there's a protocol that we have up there already for the various things that you can do for H. pylori.
Digestion module, and this is on the
on NEPT.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something called Done For You Resources. So when you click onto that module over on the left-hand side, it'll say Digestion Testing. I clicked on the wrong one. I clicked on Digestion Testing. There's two of them. Digestion. Here we go. I think it's pretty much the same. It's the Done For You Resources. I'll just double check because I know we had like a 2 or 3 page sheet on H. pylori. Yeah, so if you go to Done For You Resources.
Mm-hmm.
And then you scroll down, and it says digestion protocols, and there's a whole bunch of them, and one of them is H. pylori. Where is it?
Oh, okay.
No, where is the H. pylori? Uh-oh. The H. pylori didn't get put up. Where you can find that, Lynn, could you make a note of that? Because we have to put the H. pylori. I don't know what happened to it. If you go to Upper GI, Healing Protocols.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe it's just on that and it didn't get moved to this other page. I remember seeing it the other day. I'm just going to take a quick look at the slides. Maybe it's just in the slides right now. Supporting digestion, bitter herbs, pre-meal, action plan, upper GI protocol. Here we go. That's weird. It seems to be missing. So let me give you a few ideas off the top of my head.
Sure.
And then we'll see if we can find, I wonder what happened to it. I remember seeing it the other day as I was working on the digestion modules. Yeah, so some of the things, you have to make sure you're not taking stomach acid or bitters, because that can actually help the H. pylori to grow.
Oh, so I've been taking the bitters before food, so don't take that?
Yeah, stop taking that, because that creates a more hospitable environment for it.
Okay.
Okay. There's an herb called mastic gum. It's a real gummy kind of thing.
Mastic gum.
Yep, mm-hmm. And there's a product from Designs for Health actually has a good product called GastroMend. And it has the mastic gum plus some other antimicrobials. That's a good starting point for the H. pylori. Mm-hmm. Some people find that before taking the herb, that they do it in between meals and that they do something to alkalize, like Alka-Seltzer or baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that creates an alkaline environment, which you don't want to do that before eating because obviously that's going to hurt your digestion. But you do it in between and then you take that antimicrobial. And you could do it the night before and then take the antimicrobial in the morning, the GastroMend. But if you do that, it tends to bring the H. pylori more to the surface.
Okay.
Okay. Because what happens is when – actually, I misspoke a little bit earlier. I said when the H. pylori perceives the acid, it bores deeper. You're actually pushing it deeper in. So it makes it harder to get rid of. Okay, so if you bring it out by making the environment more alkaline, it goes, oh, okay, alkaline, I like it now. And then you kill it. So it's kind of bait and switch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this one product that has the mastic gum.
It's where I would start at least. I know Steph has a lot. She has a questionnaire and she has a lot of different ways that you can approach it based on, you know, some other stuff that's going on in your gut. I've had tremendous success with that protocol. Now, it may take two rounds of it.
Mm-hmm.
It may not. So sometimes what I'll do is I'll just have people, it's cheaper to take two rounds of it than to take a round, retest, and then have to take another round just because of the price of the test. But I just go do two rounds and then go back and retest. And then generally speaking, what I do is have people, even after the test comes back normal, I have them do one more round of it after that just to make sure.
And when you say retest, I don't have to do this 401H test if I just want to test for H. pylori. I can do it.
You can do just the H. pylori.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to do the whole test. Now, did anything else show up?
So, yeah, it looks like, which I'm very happy, no parasites. Everything else was no fungi, no yeast, which was great. The thing on top that I had a question with where it says stool culture, it says preliminary report, normal flora after 24 hours, and then it says final report, Escherichia coli isolated, amount of growth abundant. So I have, it doesn't say what kind of E. coli, and it's abundant. Is that normal?
No. If it said trace, because E. coli is a normal part of the flora, and if it said trace, no big deal. But it's basically saying it looked good after 24 hours, but then when they let it continue to grow, a lot of it grew. So there is a bacterial imbalance. So there's a number of things you can do. Some of the stuff that's actually in the GastroMend, and this is why I like that particular product, it has some other antimicrobial stuff that will detect or will actually get rid of things like E. coli and other stuff. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, or overabundant of it, so it brings it down. The other thing you can do is look at, there were no parasites, there were no yeasts.
Mm-hmm.
So no fungi, no yeast, just H. pylori. Yeah, I would focus on antibacterial kind of stuff. Now, the thing with some of the antibacterial stuff, berberine is a good one, especially if you also have some blood sugar imbalances. Berberine can help with blood sugar imbalances.
Uh-huh.
And there's a couple of ways you could do it. If you like liquid, there's a Berber Complete or something. It's Integrative Therapeutics has a liquid berberine, and it's from like Golden Seal and Barberry and a bunch of other berberine-containing herbs. But also Thorn has capsules, and the one I like the best is the Berber 500, just because it's got really hefty dose.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and
you may want
Thorn.
That's by Thorn, yeah, and that helps with blood sugar. It's one of the blood sugar balancing nutrients. So that might be a good thing. And then once you've gone through the protocol with this, I would say, you know, you want to probably do a really good abundant probiotic implant. Now, a test that you could follow this up with if you wanted to see, and this is how I usually like to do it. I like to do this to look for the general stuff and then the H. pylori. And then on a follow-up, I would do, if the H. pylori is positive, redo the H. pylori alone, but then do something like a doctor's data comprehensive. You wouldn't have to do the parasite times three because they didn't pick up parasites and they do four tests. So that's not that wouldn't be needed. But
Doctor's data tests
for other things, including your normal flora and the balance between your good stuff and your bad stuff.
Okay.
So that's the kind of follow-up I would recommend. Say it, you know, two months of the H. pylori protocol, and then follow up. Some people wait three, but.
Uh-huh. And when you say afterwards do probiotics, I'm doing them now, and I'm doing the expensive ones, custom probiotic.
Okay, so you're doing the D-lactic acid-free ones?
I'm doing that one and Bifidum because I originally thought I had SIBO, which now is negative, but it might be because I've taken a bunch of stuff for it to treat it. And now I'm curious. I may not have had SIBO. I may have had H. pylori all along. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it may have been the H. pylori was what was causing the SIBO-like symptoms because H. pylori will bore in deep, especially if you are taking HCL or bitters, it'll bore deep in.
I only started taking HCL after joining the Grand.
Oh. Okay, so you haven't been taking it all that long.
No.
Yeah, so in that case, you're probably okay with continuing the probiotics. If the SIBO test, you did the breath test for SIBO, or you just feel then I would say you're safe. You don't get bloated or anything from those probiotics because they're
not from the probiotics.
Yeah, I would say continue
bloated from random stuff. Mm-hmm.
Just from random food. Yeah.
But since I'm a negative in SIBO, I can also now go back to normal probiotics, less expensive, right? Or would you not?
But you test it.
Yet?
You test it. You definitely want to test it. So
my
small
test
amount
a couple weeks ago came back negative.
Yeah, but I mean test to see that they don't cause bloating.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, so if you start to take some of those other strains.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so berberine and this one, Gastromint. And you're against, and I would be against, just when I, you know, Dr. Google and it's talking about antibiotics, I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to
That doesn't work all that well either. I've worked with people who've already been on the antibiotics, the triple therapy. This works. There's another thing, it's called Metula Tea. That there's a lot of YouTube videos on it, and I've had a couple of people use it. They actually give you a guarantee that if you do two rounds of it and you're still positive for H. pylori, that they'll give you your money back. But it is very expensive. It's like $150 for this 1 month of tea. So, you know, the Gastromend is much more economical. There's a lot of studies on using mastic gum and some of the other, you know, the berberine-containing things with it. So.
Mm-hmm. And just follow the instructions, what it says on the bottle of Gastromint and the berberine.
On the berberine, do you also have any blood sugar problems that you know of?
I actually don't, no.
Okay. Yeah, so follow the directions. I think you can probably do two a day on the berberine. And on the Gastromint, I don't remember what the exact is, but I would follow the directions because that seems to work.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, good results, aside from these two, but at least it's good to know what's going on, then I can treat it.
It's good to know, and yeah, it's very good to know, and it's good that you don't have the ovas and the parasites. This is a very sensitive test for that. The reason I like the doctor's data, but I don't start with it, is because I always like to start with, I think this one's the most sensitive at picking up the H. pylori, and it was a four stool sample, so it's a little bit more comprehensive about picking up various parasites. And then the other one, though, the doctor's data, when they do find stuff, they run the culture and sensitivity on it. So I really like that. Plus, they do the normal flora. So
is doctor's data, is that more like 3 years ago I had a test done by Diagnostex, and it was much more comprehensive comparing these two. Like this one is less than a page, and the other one was telling me about my pancreatic output.
Right,
and
that's like that. It's like that. But test is more – the other tests pale in comparison to how this one picks up some real obscure weird stuff.
Oh, okay. So the other one is more comprehensive in other things, but as far as
parasites. Yeah, all the functions. But as far, and as far as AH pylori. The others might be better at picking up the flora, because they'll test a lot of different things, and they'll pick up the dysbiotic flora, the commensal flora, and then you get the balance between. So you know, like if you have a 4+ on lactobacillus and a 1+ on bifidus, that's something you want to switch around, because you really should have the bifidus be predominating.
Oh, okay. And doctor's data would show that?
Yeah, it'll show you. Yes, it lists the normal inhabitants, and it'll tell you how much of it you have. Yep.
Okay, so that would be a good one, maybe in 3 months.
Be a good one to follow up in 3 months. Yep.
Okay. Okay, great.
All right. Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Bye. Okay. So next. Let's see who we had next. I'm trying to find my way back home. There we go. So that was Alma. Let me close Alma's line. And then we have Isabel and I keep wanting to call you Larry. Beverly. Isabel and Beverly. So Isabel, hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you?
Oh, hi. Good. How are you?
Wonderful. How
good.
Can I help
happy
you?
Year.
Thank you. It's nice to have. Yeah.
Yeah. I just received, I opened up my mail and received your card in the mail. That was very nice.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yay. I'm glad they came out late, a little bit late, but what the heck.
Oh, that's fine. It's so good. So, yeah, that's all that matters.
Yay.
So. I am getting ready to offer a 30-day gut restoration and optimization program to my local community.
Nice.
So I was some stuff didn't get done, so I was scheduled to have that to start next Wednesday, but I haven't started advertising yet.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
That's a little tight, my dear. Unless you have people lined up that are like chomping at the bit, you might want to give yourself a little bit more time.
Yeah, so I might push it back one more week. So any suggestion on enrolling people at marketing, what really inspires people and what really gets them, coming to the program?
Yeah, so tell me what's the price point on the program.
Okay, so I'm offering, it's mostly my family and friends base. So the price point's $199, and it's a live program. Night only five times. The first week is a prep meeting, and the following four meetings are 90 minutes with cooking demo, education, and Q&A.
Wow, that's a good deal for
$199.
Now, there's a number of ways. So if you already have like a good local list, you got a couple hundred people on your list, how many people would you like to have in it ideally?
Actually, I'm going to run it small. So I'm thinking about running two sessions, 10 people per session, so 20 people.
Okay. So you'll run the two concurrently or start one a week later, or how would you do that?
Concurrently, one in the morning, one at night.
Okay. And you might want to consider starting one a week later. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but just to give people a little bit more, like, I can't start next week, darn, but I can start the week after. Will you give people the flexibility of being able to, if one week they're in the morning class, but they have something that happens, a dental appointment or whatever, that they can't reschedule and they want to come at night, will you allow that to happen?
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's,
perfect.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, then I would look at starting them a week apart. It's probably easier for you as well. And then do you have much of a list, mailing list for local folks?
I don't have I have about 100 people.
Okay.
And,
that means you'd have to get 20% of your list to sign up, which is, it's good, but it's a price point that you probably can do if you can build the trust. Now, do you have a good relationship with these 100 people? Are they people that haven't heard from you in a while, or your friend's mom?
I do. About 70% I do.
Okay. So I would craft an email or a letter, since it's going to be live in person. Maybe even get a nice card. like a Happy New Year card or something like that, or Health in the New Year card. And then send it to them. And what I would do is price the program at $2.99, but send them a coupon in an envelope. Like, people just can't resist freaking coupons for some reason, right? It's one thing to get an email that says, here's your code, use it for 10%. But they get this coupon, and you actually print it so it looks kind of like a $100 bill. You should be able to find a template from that on your computer and pop it in, and then just say, you know, good towards, right? And this is going to get, it's this physical thing. It's a nice card thinking of you. And I know that, you know, after the holidays, a lot of our guts are kind of not happy. And, you know, it contributes to the cold and flu season. And you can do that. You can put the card with a little letter in it if you have more to say than would fit in a card, you know. But make the card kind of personal. And you can I know there's software where you can just run cards through and get them printed because I get them all the time. So, And it's not that many people. If it's 100 people, I do that with Christmas cards all the time. How long is it going to really take you to say, you know, Dear Mary, thinking of you, and sign your name? So I would make that extra effort because people are going to feel special. Thinking of you, and you can write a form letter that has all the details, but you can just insert it. But you could say, Dear Mary, thinking of you, I think this is going to be perfect for you. Haven't talked to you in a while. I can't wait to get together. Something like that. So make them personalized. And then the letter, you're going to tell them about, you know, the whole concept of cold and flu season and why that happens and how they got their guts can get in a mess from the holidays and, you know, to really achieve their goals. And, you know, indigestion is considered normal, but it's really not. And the long-term effects if you don't deal with it now. And I'm going to have this fun way for you to approach it. And here's what we're going to do. And then tell them about the class. And then send them off by mail. Do you have email addresses for these folks?
I do. I don't have addresses.
You don't have addresses. You just have email addresses.
Email addresses.
So that cuts out the card.
That's a little challenge.
So you can't do that. I didn't realize that. So screw that. But still, I would still make up this a graphic that looks like $100 bill. And you can actually insert that into an email. And tell them I have a special gift because you're special to me, and here's what we can do. And then write the letter, tell them about the program, and invite them to sign up. And give them incentive. This coupon is good until.
Yeah, the discounted price is until,
The discount, and it's $2.99. The other thing you can do you have a Facebook following?
I do. I have Facebook.
So post on your Facebook. Same thing, you know, tell them that. How are you going to have them enroll?
I'm setting up a page with Lee page, and then they're going to take our PayPal.
Oh, perfect.
Then you go through PayPal.
Perfect.
Yes.
So I would then, instead of sending it all the information in an email, use Lee pages to have the, you know, kind of a sales page. Set it up so that it has the description of the program and everything else. And click here to buy, and then they click there and they go to PayPal. So then on Facebook, I would post, you know, I would post a couple of things about digestion. You know, this time of year, digestion is blah, blah, blah. It might be a link to a recipe. It might be just a little tip. Here's a little tip. You know, drink warm water a half an hour before each meal, and that's going to help soothe your digestion. Or, you know, do this or that, and just a couple of tip things. And then after you've done a few tip things, then say, hey, you know, if you're in this area, if you live in this area, I have a special invitation for you. Come and hang out in my kitchen with me, and let's heal our guts together. And then send them over there. Now, the other thing is to look at who do you know in town, like at the health food store. Create a flyer that people can, you can hang up at the health food store.
Oh, yeah. I could see you do a flyer on my mailbox.
Yoga teachers. Do you know yoga teachers or yoga studios or a health club?
okay,
and say,
yeah,
you're mm-hmm. going to do this thing, and you have the flyer say, and hey, look, I have these. I'll give you 10 coupons.
Okay.
$100 off coupons that you
okay.
can, you know, if you send me like 3 people, I'll let you come for free. You know, if you know somebody that's like works at the health club or the health
mm-hmm.
food store, so you can reward them.
Okay.
All right. And okay. And then when you write you write the initial out to your list, you can also say, hey, mm-hmm. if this doesn't apply to you, you must know somebody. Share this.
Okay.
Email.
Yeah, I have that. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So in the email, I have my sales email. So what is it that when they read that really catches them, and then like, oh, this is, you know, this is what I need, and I'm going to find out what inspired them to. Really
what inspires them
to?
Well, you know, usually you're hitting on a pain point.
Okay.
People respond best to like opening an email when it looks like it's going to be something that's going to get them out of pain or it's going to give them a reward. So,
okay.
You know, there's a knack to doing mm-hmm. Catchy subject line, first of all. Don't just say, I have a new class.
Okay.
Or come to my class. Or something like that. Make it something. Like, think about you. If you're, you know, you're sitting there going, oh, I'm mopey. I just got through the holidays. I put on an extra couple of pounds. My gut hurts.
Mm-hmm.
What
okay.
would make it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What kind
okay.
of a headline is going to mm-hmm. attract the people that you need? So what you want to write down the traits of those people. Like, what are those people
okay.
suffering from that
okay.
would be the ideal fit for your class? And then
okay.
try to get into their head.
Okay.
Okay. Meetup groups, and you don't have time right now to form a meetup group and get that together, but meetup groups tend to be a really nice way to get to know people in the local community.
Okay.
You can create your own meetup group, or you can look for meetup groups in your area that are related to people who are into health, and, you know, there might even be like a SIBO or a celiac group around.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because
right? yeah.
those would be good. If there's a celiac society in your town or a fibromyalgia support group or any of
mm-hmm.
those, you might reach out to them.
Okay.
And
okay. So this is like my pilot program. So I'm going to run it small, just kind of get some feedback
yeah.
and then
absolutely.
Improve on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and,
mm-hmm.
and if you do that, you know, you don't. If you want to run it real quickly, then you're not going to have time to do this. But I find that free events are great ways to sign people up, especially at such a low investment price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you just go to these various places and, you know, you say, hey, I would love to give a free talk for your group. And you talk
okay.
about digestive health. So if you're talking at the fibromyalgia mm-hmm. group, you talk about, you present evidence, you present research that talks about the connection and why fibromyalgia can actually be a problem in the gut.
Okay.
And then you make an offer for your program. And I'm taking
okay.
a selected small number of people through this program.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, you don't do that with a week's worth of notes.
Yeah, I don't.
You
yeah.
you know, you need
okay.
the time to, unless you can really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now's the time.
Yeah, it is.
Right now
okay.
is a good time because people are looking
mm-hmm.
for it. Even if you started it in February, but had like
mm-hmm.
got started to get people signed up now, and you know, gave
okay.
them a little prep work to do,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So sorry. No, that's good. Yeah.
Okay.
And one last question is, with your recipe and your program, is there a way if I use your recipe to lease your recipe or
like which recipe?
Like some of your gut restoration, your gut recipe, like your chia gel, like some of the recipes with that. I really like that. I use it all the time myself. So,
yeah, if you're going to use any of my recipes, you can't
mm-hmm.
give people my recipe guide, but you could, as an affiliate,
mm-hmm.
sell it to
okay.
them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But what you can do is,
mm-hmm.
If you want to use one or two recipes, no problem. You just
yeah. mm-hmm.
keep my
mm-hmm.
my stuff on there.
Okay. Yeah, it would be just a, you know, one or two recipes that I like. And
yeah.
I would,
as long as
okay.
you give me credit for it, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to have in the future, we're going to have the ability for people to actually, like you said, lease, but it's more of like a licensing agreement where you can just buy the rights to do it, or it might be on a per book basis or something, where if you're doing a class and you don't want to create your own recipe book, you could just buy the rights to use the book. And that's happening in the future. Definitely. Because there's a lot of people have asked about that. It's a lot of work that goes into it. People have no idea how much effort
it is.
To put together a recipe quick. I've got about 1,000 pages of them out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. That sounds really good. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. All right. So we have Beverly and then C. Kramer and then Laura. Hi there.
Hey, this is Larry.
Larry, you have a very high-pitched voice for Larry.
You know, right? Oh, my goodness. Happy New Year. Thank you for the beautiful card and sentiment. That was very sweet.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. Yeah.
My cards are still sitting they didn't get done this year. There was way too much going on. So.
Well, I didn't get my personal ones done, and I used to be a stickler for the personal cards, and I would write this long letter and have pictures of my family and pack it in and put a personal note in each one, and I would do it throughout the whole season, and it took like days to do, and then I got busy, and I didn't get a chance to do them, and I haven't done them in years, so my personal people didn't get their cards this year.
Mom and brother, I think that was the only one that went out.
Yeah,
because all my family's East Coast, so I had to do that and send them stuff. But but anyway, I spent a lot of time near the end of the year running around to the different doctor's appointments. I had met my maximum out of pocket with my surgery last year, and I'm like, okay, good. This is a chance to see how much I can gather.
Right.
And so I went to, do you know who Dr. Michael Rosenbaum is?
No.
Thought you might know him. I think he knows you. He used to be the president of the Orthomolecular Medical Society
cool.
in San Francisco.
Very
and
good.
And he's kind of like one of the bloody fortune to see him. He's kind of what they told me was kind of like the guru. But when I went to him, I have to tell you, our group knows just as much, if not more. You know, here I am thinking, you're really going to see the wizard.
You guys are learning the cream of the crop stuff here, and if I learn something new that I learn from somebody, I share it. So you guys are getting the easy way to get the top knowledge that most of these guys have.
Amen, sister. I'll tell you, I'm seeing that, And, I'll share when we do those case studies, I'll share my interesting labs and, you'll probably enjoy sharing those. But, they're finding a lot of things. And so, but I wanted to ask you about a test, some information that a colleague of his who's there in their office, they did a bunch of research, which I don't know if you've ever heard of this. They tried to take it, or they didn't really want to share it, but they talked to Dr. Oz and they talked to the major network news programs were trying to get them to come on there, and they were kind of the one doctor who did the research didn't really want to be in the spotlight. And so it's kind of in the background still, but I will ask you, did you ever hear of thallium poisoning from kale?
I read some stuff on that. I've been trying to get more and more information. They're saying that some of the green vegetables, it seemed like it was a California thing, so I don't know if it's ubiquitous, but I've heard of that some people are – I have heard of it, yes.
Yeah, well, these are the guys that did the research. So Ernie is there in the office. Ernie Hubbard, and he did some body composition and bioimpedance analysis. Are you familiar with those tests?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and he did that, and he's like, "Wow." He goes, "Your mitochondria are just they've got a lot of energy in them, but you're not getting it out. It's just you're just
sitting generally
there.
Not what I've used bioimpedance for. Usually they use bioimpedance for body fat composition and then phase angle and a couple of other things.
Yeah, so he did that too, but he knows, I guess, a whole lot more about how to use the results, and he was really very well informed. He sat there with Larry and I, and we talked for quite a while. It was really interesting.
Great.
And he was the one with this Dr. Michael Rosenbaum, who's written books, Solving the Puzzle of Chronic Fatigue. You
yep.
ever heard of that book? That's Dr. Michael Rosenbaum. So anyway,
right.
The two of them had done all of this testing on kale. And they controlled up in Sonoma really clean, pristine land. They tested the soil. They tested the water. They did several batches. It was all organic. And they were finding, especially in the Lacanato kale, that in the because they could have forgot where all these healthy people in Marin that had been juicing and eating greens like crazy. And the first thing he asked me is, what's your favorite vegetable? And I said, kale. And he goes, oh, because he said, with hair loss, fatigue, all these, all the symptoms I've been having. And I'm like, what? I said, I'm sick and tired of unclogging my drain. I mean, I'm just, reiterating, my brain has left the building, and I cannot figure out what the hell is going on. And so I'm waiting for my test results to come back now. They did.
So they're
going to
do a heavy metal test to see.
They already did.
Thallium.
We did the urine with a DMSA count. We don't know yet. I'm still waiting.
Oh, okay. They did it. You're waiting for the results of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we won't know. And I've been getting, you know, my viral tests done, and they've been finding all this crazy stuff. And,
right.
And you know, I have a bunch of SNPs, and he's like, well, I want you to take MSM, and that hasn't been sitting real well with me. Everything I've been trying to take that you and I and the group know we should be taking has been making me feel really crummy. So I'm just trapped in a corner right now, not knowing what to do. But anyway, back to this thing the kale. Yeah, he said that they're finding that any of these cruciferous vegetables are creating that they're finding this in them. And he goes, nobody wants it. He goes, I tried to tell Dr. Oz about it, and he said, Dr. Oz isn't interested in giving up his kale. He doesn't want to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said it's really a huge problem. And
particular regions or?
No,
I mean,
that's
I read an article
thing.
Somebody sent me, and I went, okay, you know, and it looked like it was, okay, maybe somebody had, you know, some runoff and thallium.
Well, that's what he said, you know, that's what they were hoping was the issue. And they've been testing several different different places too, and they keep finding this. And it's a very scary proposition because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are being, you know, following very clean diets, all greens, and, you know, are just,
yeah.
They're not doing well with it. And then, come in. And then the oxalate issue with the spinach, if you're going to switch to spinach and chard,
mm-hmm.
you know, with vulvodynia and all of that and the oxalate crystals in the eyes and with all of that, it's like I'm just really fed up.
Well, the oxalate's only really a problem. I mean, high oxalates are bad for everybody, but some, you know, most people tolerate normal amounts of oxalate unless they have the SNPs and they have leaky gut. That combination will do the oxalates. I mean, I specifically don't eat much spinach or chard because I keep the level down to keeping it in a reasonable amount of oxalates.
You have the SNP too, then?
I don't think I do. I just think in general we shouldn't have too much because it yanks out too much of your calcium. But I mean, it just bodes for really good rotating of foods.
Right.
I mean, so I'd like to know, I've not seen any articles that quantify it. I've seen articles that just say it, but they don't say, you know, this much kale leads to this much thallium and this is the toxic level of thallium, et cetera, et cetera. So I haven't seen any of that. So if you have any access to that,
yeah,
I'd love to
that's
see
what
it
I'm
and
just
read
gonna...
it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I will try to get that from Ernie because I think that would be very helpful for us to have a lot more. But he doesn't want me taking any cruciferous vegetables at all. And I'm like,
what
am I supposed to eat? Yeah. So he's like, I really think that this is an issue for you. He was testing, you know, he was looking at my skin and looking at everything. And then we're waiting for the results to come back from the urine, and that'll be the big ta-da.
And then there's the other stuff. There's rice is contaminated with arsenic. And
yeah, arsenic, right?
So interesting. So, you know, this bodes back to, you know, my biggest way to help people detox is water fasting. You get everything out of your system and you get it out pretty quickly. And not everybody can do it, but man.
I'm going to go to True North and do that. As a practitioner, I'm going to try to make it through the month. It's going to be a bitch for me to do because I have the energy to go through that. You know, the internship is pretty intensive. You're doing you're on call and, you know, you're working 6 days or I think you're 7 days some weeks and 6 days on, I don't know, there's a lot of hours in it.
Well,
and it's
if you can go and do the program and then do the internship and pay them back after. Like,
that's
what I
want to do.
That's the way to do it because it's really hard to fast and work hard. It really does interfere with the
They're not simultaneous. They're not simultaneous.
Oh, okay.
No, they want you to do the internship first.
Okay.
And then do the fast. You have what you get as a reward is the room at half rate.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that really great of a deal, but it's some help. You know, it's just it's a slight discount. Obviously, you still have to pay for all the testing and the
Well, you don't have to pay for food.
Visit. Yeah, right. But
when I fasted, I went to a place, they charged $70 a day. So I fasted for 28 days. That's 4 weeks. What's that? $280 a week. $70 a day. So seven times seven is $490 a week. So it cost me, you know, under $2,000 to fast for 4 weeks. And then I stayed there another week. So it's probably, you know, $2,500. To do a fast.
So you did a full 5 weeks there. They want you to do half the amount of time, preferably half the amount of time you fasted to stay on afterwards.
Oh yeah, they did too. But I said, you know, I could do this at home.
Right.
See
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Right.
So I want to, you know, this is where I think I'm going to be headed here. I know I'm going to do it this year. I have to. There's just too damn many things. Like I told you, you know, you've heard me say, I don't want to sound like somebody who's crazy. And there's just too many things going on, and we have solid evidence. And all the doctors, when I go in, they're like, you can see their faces just light up, and they're like, they don't even know where to start.
Yeah. So like, I really think that you prioritize this. I mean, it wasn't the best time for me. I mean, I had to give up a trip to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I mean, I took off my job. I risked getting fired. I risked a lot, but I said, you know what? My health is the most important commodity I have. And I took care of it and it changed my life. And that's why I'm here doing what I'm doing right now. And and I get teary eyed just thinking about it. You know, I made the choice that this is enough. I ran around like you for a long time getting tests and trying this and trying that and nothing working. And I just said, I need to do it. And it's more than just the physiological rest that your body gets. It's the emotional and psychological. And there's something that happens when you start to fast that it slows you down. So it takes you out of the sympathetic, puts you into parasympathetic. But because of all the work that your liver gets to do, it just starts this emotional thing, and it allows you to let go of anger and resentment and hate and all this other toxic stuff. And it's a miracle kind of a thing. Not everybody can do it, but boy.
You know, I did those 5 days, and that's the only time that I, you know, haven't had a lot of distress in my gut.
Right.
You know, of course, it was a little
bit. Now imagine, you 28 days gives it a chance to completely reheal. Maybe 21 days for you. Everybody's different. That was my thing. I was 24 or 5 at the time. I was young. But I had 25 years of major abuse to my body, was running around, couldn't get the symptoms to go away.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So I would really consider it.
I'm going to do it. I have I've committed to my cousin, our brain. I'm also waiting for my brain MRI to come back from UCSF. I think I told you before, they thought they saw or they did see a pituitary tumor, and then they followed up and they didn't see it. And then Dr. Kunwar, the neurosurgeon, wanted me to periodically follow up every year with this. So I went and had that done last week, and I'm waiting for those results to come back. But my poor cousin actually does have a brain tumor, and so did his daughter. And they called me from Penn back in Philly and asked me if I would help him after the surgery. So yeah, they booked my flight, and I'm going to be going back there for a month to help him.
Great. Well, after that, you know, when you use that opportunity, you'll be taking care of him, but to take care of you too.
That's what I said. You know, go ahead.
Just do it. And you can cleanse and detox and do whatever it is you have to do. And I want to look into more on this kale thing, because obviously I recommend a lot of people eat kale. But we also recommend a lot of variety, and so that's why I want to quantify it.
Yeah, right? And I do too. I agree. I mean, I think that it's important, and I've always said that to people. I said, make sure that you do rotate.
Because everything has toxins in it. Everything.
It does.
Celery, everything does. And they're natural plant constituents to protect the plants from being over-harvested by, you know, the birds go, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I've had enough of that. And the birds, the animals, tend to be in touch with their inner guidance, so they know when they've hit enough. And I always tell people who are like green addicts, and they suddenly say, you know, I just didn't want a green smoothie today. I didn't want anything green today. It's like that might be your inner guidance saying that there's been a buildup of those toxins, and you need to let them go. You remember I told this story before. I got poisoned by buckwheat sprouts.
Yeah.
So buckwheat sprouts, a handful of buckwheat sprouts on your salad is great. But I was juice blending them. I bought a whole flat of buckwheat sprouts, and I was blending the entire, you know, whole bunch of them every day and making a smoothie out of it. And it didn't take all that long for me to develop these weird neurological symptoms that, fortunately, I'm a good researcher and I know how to look things up. And I found this thing. And I'm like, oh, that's what I have. That's exactly what I have.
Wow.
And I stopped the buckwheat sprouts. And now I still eat buckwheat sprouts. I just eat them in the amount that they're intended. So,
and I've heard them being causing a sensitivity to the sun.
Yeah, well, it's a combination. The symptoms come out when you're out in the sun. So it's a photosensitivity as a result of this toxin that builds up in the skin. And it creates this like tingly, weird feeling that if you touch something cold, it's like the most jarring sensation you'll ever want to have. It's very bizarre. Very, very bizarre. And I felt it, and I said to a friend of mine, I said, I have this weird, this tingly kind of feeling in my hands. And she said, well, maybe your neck's out of alignment. I went, no, this doesn't feel like it's a neurological that way. It feels like there's some kind of toxin under my skin that's irritating it. And sure enough, that's kind of how you would describe this thing. So, but the bottom line is everything has problems, and maybe, you know, this whole thing with the thallium and the kale, is it specific regions? Is it all kale? Is it baby kale? Is it fully mature kale? And what's the level of it so that you know what's the right amount to eat? I've been doing more baby kale lately just because it's easier because it's already little and you don't have to do much work with it. But is it, so I want to know more. So any research you can find for me, I'll look at it. I just did a toxic kale search and I brought up a couple of articles. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm gonna move on to the next person, but good luck with that. When do you leave to be with your cousin?
The 17th.
Good.
I think it's the 17th. Is it whatever that Sunday is? Yeah, I'll be there for probably close to a month. He has me there, so yeah. All righty. Well, we're gonna get him through this. He had six broken. It was a total miracle how I found it. He fell on his bicycle. He went to see the Pope in Philly. Fell on his bicycle, broke six ribs, and was taken to the hospital, and they said, you're a trauma case. We can't help you here. And they took him to the trauma center and CT'd him and found the meningioma. So, and it's quite large, and it's pressing and causing symptoms. He's starting to have memory challenges, and he's coded twice. So he's had a stroke and pulled through that, but he's a case right now, and I'm going to go back there and see how much I can help him. Try to feed him into a healthy way, and he's a
good
smart guy, so I'm excited. Yeah,
hopefully he'll have an open mind.
I hope so too. I think it'll be good for both of us because we're really close, and I think try to rest with him as much as I can too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. You take care. Thank you for sharing.
I will.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. C. Kramer, the Dalles, Oregon. Who's this?
Actually, this is Heidi, and I'm not
Heidi Kramer
anymore.
That's
but...
right. Okay, Heidi.
Yeah.
Hi. I knew the Kramer sounded familiar, but I'm like, the C. Okay, hi, Heidi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask about, so I'm helping my someone who is pre-diabetic to lower their blood sugar using all the kind of before begone protocols that I've got so far. I haven't got all of them or figured out, but I'm working on it. Anyways, so we've been really successful in getting her blood sugar lowered. And it went into the normal range, and then but it continues to drop, and so now she's starting to get into her fasting blood sugars are in the 60s.
Oh, wow.
And, and then, you know, she'll eat and it'll go up to high 70s and then come back down on a normal thing. But the problem is she's not feeling very well. She doesn't feel very good when it's in the 60s.
Well, sure, yes.
So I'm sort of confused about what might be happening.
And where did it start out?
Like 140.
Oh, wow. And how quickly did it get down to
normal? This is actually my daughter.
Daughter,
sorry,
okay.
What?
How old is your daughter?
She's 15.
Oh.
Yeah.
And has she been that way her whole life with the high blood sugars?
I don't know. We've been a vegan family eating a relatively healthy vegan diet, but there is diabetes in the family, and I suspect that she has the gene for it and that it's really strong. And she wasn't on a completely pristine diet, even though I was, but she was not. So I didn't realize, I think, what was happening, but I began to realize what was happening. And then particularly when I attended the Shine conference. So then I started doing something about it.
What made you think that she had the problem, though? Was it a routine blood test, or did you actually tested her blood sugar with your meter?
I started testing the blood sugar because I knew there was something wrong, but I hadn't figured it out yet. And then when I realized that it might be blood sugar, I started testing it. It was high, very high. And so I said, I just sort of was like, oh my gosh, we have to do something now.
Absolutely.
You know, this is we can't wait for this. You either have to get insulin shots or you're going to have to make a big switch. And she said, I'll make a big switch.
That's great that she's willing. But the feeling that she's having, I'm not really sure.
When we got to the mid-level, you know,
where
she was kind of having 70s and 80s ones, and then it was just going up to 90 or, you know.
And that's her fasting in the 60s and 70s. Is that what you're finding? And then it just goes up to 70s.
Starting to go down. Yeah, it's starting to go down as a fasting into the 60s. And then she'll eat, and it'll go up in the 70s, and it'll come back down to the 60s. And she just doesn't feel good.
No,
in the 60s, and I'm just kind of like, okay, I'm not sure what's happening. I'm not sure why it went so low. Although on your video for the patterns of it, you were saying the low normal, at least one of your things was the low normal was around 60. So at first I thought, well, maybe it's okay, but she definitely does not feel good.
Once it gets below 70, it's okay if they feel okay. But the point is, though, if she's used to it being up at 140, it's the difference. And so it could be that she'll get used to feeling that way. But the question I want to ask you is, are you giving her some of the herbs or supplements in Before Be Gone to bring down the sugar?
Yeah, she's been taking all the supplements for 2 months.
So now's the time to back those off. So whatever she's doing, say, on chromium, cut it back by 25%. Do that for a week and see how she does with it. Okay? If she maintains, if it goes up a little bit but not as high as you want it to, then you cut it back by a half. So if she's doing 800 a day, you cut her down to 600. Then you cut her down to 400. Okay? In the meantime, you keep watching to make sure that she doesn't have just this overabundance.
Okay.
Okay?
Because I don't think that her levels are... I don't know. I should probably get another and find out if her what her blood levels are of those supplements at this point.
Oh yeah, you won't. Chromium, we do a very super physiologic dose to get the levels down, but some people are very sensitive to it, and especially because she's so young.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
She's going to respond way better than some 65-year-old that's been eating at McDonald's her whole life.
Right.
I mean, she's got a lot less years, but she's also got a lot better diet. So I would cut back the chromium by 25%. If she's still staying in the 60s, 70s, cut it down to half. If she's still staying in the 50s, the 60s, 70s, then cut it down again. Magnesium, you know, you have more leeway with because magnesium is, we don't give as super physiologic dose. I mean, if the RDA for magnesium is in the 300 range, and we're giving her 600, that's not a big deal compared to chromium. The RDA might be 60. I don't remember the exact, I guess 90. So you're giving a lot higher. So you just cut it back down. So you're giving her the magnesium and the chromium. How much magnesium?
I'm sorry, off the top of my head, I don't remember the dosage. I've just been giving her, I figured it out, and I started giving her the pills every day. But
okay, so keep her somewhere in the 300 to 400 would be fine. That's probably not going to be too much and probably not going to be too little. DHA, same thing, you know, somewhere in the 300 to 400 a day. But the chromium, just start cutting back on and see where she needs to get to, okay?
Okay.
And that might help. And then, are you giving her any other herbs? Are you giving her any berberine, for example? Because berberine would bring
I wasn't giving her any other herbs. We just did the really the only things, because I was sort of starting even before the Before Be Gone program came up. And so I was kind of shooting in the dark. So we just kind of went to doing the diet stuff and taking the supplements and then starting the burst training and stuff when I began to figure that out. So, and trying to hydrate. She doesn't hydrate very well. She really doesn't like to drink fluid. So I'm trying to work on that.
Yeah,
she doesn't like the taste. She doesn't like the taste of water, and she doesn't like bitter drinks. So,
well, does she like some of the like? What kind of flavors does she like? Because you can start with the water and put some of the essential oils like orange or peppermint or lemon or something like that.
Yeah. I've tried stuff like that. She just has really sensitive taste buds. Like, she can taste anything. And so she still tastes the water, and she just doesn't like it.
She just
has to drink it.
Yeah.
But she,
tea.
Yeah, she can, you know, even the smallest amount of spice that you put in something, she's just like, oh, did you put such and such in something?
Oh,
she has one of those, you know, she's one of those rare people that could, I've met only a couple other people in my life, but, you know, they could actually taste the color of an M&M.
My goodness.
They're that sensitive.
Yeah.
And she's one of those.
Yeah. Well, that might
explain
She's very sensitive, and that might be explaining why she's very sensitive to supplements, to various things, substances that do physiological things in her body. So that might be why she dropped down so quickly and responded so well. I mean, it's good that she responded well, but you don't want her walking around feeling lightheaded.
Right, right, right. So, okay, so I'll come back on supplements. I have that challenge too, not with the taste, but with the supplementation. I usually have to take a lot less than it's recommended.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
React very strongly also.
Yep. I run into people like that. So she may be just over chrominated. You might even cut it by half right away. I would just go to half right away, given that. Go to the half. If she's still feeling it, then you could cut it after that. But if it goes up too high at the half, then bump it back up to 3/4.
And should I just begin putting her back on a, adding more, say, fruits? If we cut it down to all the low glycemic fruits, but,
you can give that a try. I mean,
put her sort of back into a more normal diet.
Right. Well, not a normal diet by the standards of society.
I mean, a more varied. A more varied diet.
Yes, you can. You can start introducing, if you've completely cut out fruit except for, say, berries, then I would start experimenting with that. You know, give her some maybe not banana right away, but kiwi, and then give her some apple and orange and, you know, whatever seasonal right now would be great. And just start adding those fruits back, but make sure you're doing the testing that she's not going up more than 25 points.
Okay,
and that could help as well.
Yeah, we were pleased at least that she responded so quickly to getting her blood.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that was
absolutely.
Really nice.
So. Absolutely,
right,
but her brain sounds like it needs more glucose. So yeah, you need to get it up a little.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye. Laura, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to ask you a question about SIBO and about starting the Bifaxin antibiotic, and that is actually what I'm muscle testing to do right now.
Mm.
Which is interesting because I don't like taking antibiotics at all. But when I was muscle testing my options, that came up strong. And I was
Did anything else come up strong? Did you test it against other stuff?
I tested it against different diets, like oregano oil, like trying a water fast. I still test that that's not.
Yeah.
A good idea for me at this point right now.
Right.
And my Lyme doctor had kind of gave me some kind of herbal natural options to treat the SIBO. I'm already on Cowden, which she said will help with the SIBO. But I'm testing strong for the antibiotic.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know, is there anything else that I can kind of do to help support my body when I start that? That might be, like, I'm definitely going to, take a probiotic away from that at night.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know if there was anything else that you that might help with that.
Yeah, so whether you're doing an herbal antibiotic or an antibiotic, you still want to do all the other things. The SIBO presentation I just spent, 2 days on over the holidays, so I haven't recorded it yet.
I cannot wait to watch it. I'm so excited when that opens up to watch it because I'm like, yay.
Yeah, I did lots and lots and lots of research on it. You want to make sure that you're not feeding it, first of all. So really looking at whether it's elemental diet or FODMAP diet or, it's finding for you. And since you muscle test, you can certainly use the muscle testing to help you figure out what that diet should be so that you're not feeding it. Okay.
Yeah.
Prokinetics are critical. Prokinetics are super critical. You know what I mean by prokinetics?
No. Uh-huh.
Okay. So what happens in SIBO, the bacteria that start to grow in your small intestine don't belong there. They belong in your large intestine. But they kind of, they're just kind of making their way down and they decide to make home there. And a lot of that has to do with this whole, it's not peristalsis, it's the migrating motor complex. So the migrating motor complex is this series of contract, relax of the small intestine. So if you think about peristalsis as being mostly large intestinal as, there it goes. I have to have a bowel movement. You just had this peristalsic wave and things got pushed down and then you have a bowel movement. That happens in the small intestine. So it's called the migrating motor complex, MMC. And so the MMC is this series of waves. It starts about an hour and a half after you finish a meal. And then there's a wave. I think each wave is like 45 minutes to an hour. So the first thing is you want to make sure that you're waiting at least 4 hours between meals. Because if you don't, then the migrating motor complex gets halted as soon as you start eating. Like, whereas peristalsis will start when you start eating, the migrating motor complex will stop when you start eating. Okay, so it doesn't start till about an hour and a half after you finish a meal. So you want to give enough space in between meals for the migrating motor complex to move things along. So it's moving everything along, including the bacteria. Okay, so you imagine the migrating motor complex is moving stuff along, and then suddenly you eat again really quickly. It stops. So stuff that's there that's supposed to be going down into the large intestine is kind of stopped there until you stop eating again, and then it gets pushed further down. Okay, so meal spacing is super critical. The 3 hours before bedtime becomes super, super critical because it'll overnight is your best bet with it. Now, there are some herbs. There's actually one that Pure Encapsulations puts out. It's called Motil Pro, M-O-T-I-L-P-R-O. And that has some ginger and some other things like serotonergic type things that stimulate the serotonergic receptors because serotonin helps with the migrating motor complex. Okay. So that's another thing you want to look at. Trifala, it does have, it's been studied and it works fairly well, but I think that it's not as specific. Then there was one other herb, what was it? I have that in my presentation. There was the ginger.
I've been making elixirs with the trifala and slippery elm and marshmallow root.
Good. That's good.
And ginger help because right now I'm at the point where anything that I eat hurts.
Anything hurts. Yeah, that's why I was saying elemental diet. And, you know, maybe you can figure out an elemental, you know, it doesn't have to be pure elemental diet. It doesn't have to be the really foul-tasting, yucky powders that they use in the studies. I mean, you can do your modified version of an elemental diet. Do you handle protein powders at all or any kind of powdered mix stuff? Does that cause you to cramp up too?
I haven't tried just the powder. When I do, like, smoothies and things with the powder, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you
smoothies, just
simple
like the
smoothies?
And water?
Yeah, you could just try powders. And, you know, the simple one, like, I don't know, what's that one that I like? Warrior Blend. Real simple.
Mm-hmm.
Real simple. It doesn't have rice protein in it. It's pea protein, cranberry, and hemp, mostly pea protein. But it's simple. That's all that's in it. You just get the natural. That can be taken. You can flavor it with any of your essential oils that you want. Do you get, if you just do a smoothie without protein powder, does that bother you, tummy?
Yeah.
What about juices?
It's even some juices and stuff, maybe not as bad with the stomach, but I'll still bloat. And it's like, I don't know how to describe it, but I feel a lot of gas in my intestines. Like also mm-hmm. like bubbles and things, like just moving along.
And that's with green juices as opposed to fruit juices, right? You know, celery, cucumber, greens. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, so, it's like plain celery juice.
Yeah. So, you know, it's probably just the level of healing that has to happen down there. You said you've done like a 5-day water fast. If you can find a powdered mix, I know it's not ideal, it's not perfect nutrition, but if you could find a powdered mix that will help, or diluting juice, that might help too, because sometimes the juice is too strong. But also, I think celery is prohibited on FODMAP, if I'm not mistaken, FODMAP or SCD. So the combination of diet that seems to work for most people in helping to calm things down and not cause the bloating and the gas is a combination. And I did put together, let me see if I can find it. I'm going to give you a preview. I'll give you a preview of what the handout that I put together is. I'm pretty sure that I can find it easily. So I basically took Allison Seebecker's SIBO FODMAP kind of combination. With my SIBO FODMAP combination, I took off all the crap because a lot of those diets still have a lot of crap in them. And I created a 5 or 6 page document of here's a good starting point if you have SIBO to start with. Now, you may want to pull some more stuff out or put other stuff in, but it's a good starting point. And it's very similar to one that's already up on the Grand program, but it's just laid out a little bit nicer. I laid it out by type, by vegetables and fruits and nuts, et cetera. So let me see if I can find it. NEPT. And again,
that test, just the SIBO test itself, like made me super sick.
Oh yeah, because it's all that lactulose. Yeah.
And
your numbers weren't that bad, though. Your numbers
weren't
that bad. But you've also, now I remember, you had the methane, not the hydrogen. Your hydrogen was borderline, but your methane was high. And there's those single cell organisms, arachnia, something like that. I forget the name of them, but they actually eat the hydrogen. So you may be making the hydrogen, but they're eating it. But either way, your numbers weren't off the charts. So you should be able to take care of this. And maybe the antibiotics will work, but you also want to do the prokinetics in the diet. Because otherwise, it's just going to grow back again. Right? You can kill them off all you want, but that's not really the problem. The problem is they're not in the right place because they're getting stuck there.
Right. And I'm taking low-dose naltrexone, and I was reading that that does help with migrating motor complex.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I've been on that for a couple months.
Are you up to the 4.5, or are you still in the lower?
I am. I'm up to the 4.5, but my doc said it could take up to 6 months until I notice a big, big change with that. So I just it's compounded. But maybe I'll just keep sticking with that.
And did you get it through one of the labs, the pharmacies that's known for making good stuff? Because there are some that aren't, that are known for not making really quality stuff. The lady that I interviewed on my site, what was the name of her book? Something else. Lynn will remember. But anyway, she has on her site, she has a list of the labs that are actually the ones that are recommended. Honest Medicine. So look up Honest Medicine.
Okay.
In her site, she has a list of the recommended places to make sure that you're ordering through the pharmacies that actually do it right. Okay, so let me see. I have the SIBO diet thing. It's still in a Word doc, but are you on the Join Me thing? Let's see.
No, but I can.
Join Me. Okay, go there and I'll share this document with you. Okay, let me find the document. I thought I could just open it, but it has to be saved first, so give me a second. Is this someone? Okay, yeah. Open. It's almost there. Okay, so let me shorten this, widen it, and okay. And this will be posted really soon. I had to give it to them to proof it because I'm not good at stuff, proofing stuff. Share screen. Can you see my screen?
Oh, yeah, I see it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I can send this, if we can make it into a PDF, we could save it, put it on the. So, okay, so this is the basically the way it looks. It has the information. You start by only using the foods in the green column. If any of those cause you problems, you eliminate those. So you get down to the foods that you tolerate, right? And it may be quantities as well. So it may be that you can eat 2 Brussels sprouts, but you can't eat a whole plate full of Brussels sprouts, right? So you're going to find what works for you. So this is the vegetables, this is the fruits, this is the legumes, nuts and seeds, dairy, condiments, sweeteners, beverages, etc. So I had to go in and take all kinds of crap out that they had on there that didn't seem to fit the SCD and FODMAP things, but they don't fit my criteria for being a healthy food, so I took those out. Okay, so you can start with this diet and just start with stuff in here and maybe dilute blends. You can try that. Like a lot of times when we make smoothies, we make these rich, robust things. But if you just were to take, like make green water, for example, instead of a heavy-duty green smoothie, like take a couple of leaves of something and then blend it up with water. It's going to give you some nutrition, but it's going to be much more dilute and not cause irritation.
Okay.
And when you did the test, was it the lactulose or glucose that they tested with?
Lactulose.
It was lactulose, yeah. Okay, because sometimes when they test with glucose, then you get a flare-up of candida. Whereas candida doesn't eat the lactulose.
But I got a terrible migraine, which happens with any dairy. Yeah, and I think just eating
lactulose,
all those
greens. You ate what they told you to eat for days before?
Yeah, I did that like 12-hour diet, and it was not good.
I recommend that people don't do that diet. If you're going to do it, just don't eat. It's much better. The diet they recommend is one of the reasons. Yeah, just fast. The only reason they want you to
That's
eat that way
idea.
Is they don't want you to eat any fibers that might be. And I'm not sure I agree with them, but you know, if you're going to do it, I would just fast.
Well, I felt bad on that.
Oh yeah, anybody would. I had people that refused to do the test because they read that and said, "There's no way I'm eating this way for 2 days or a day, whatever it was."
That's a good idea. I hope I never have to retest, but I'll just fast. I didn't even think of that last time, but
yeah. And a lot of times you go by symptoms. So if you're feeling bloated with everything that you eat, and you go on a program and you don't. So getting back to your original question, which was protecting yourself from the effects of the antibiotics, mainly it's going to be the probiotics, assuming that you're taking the kind that aren't going to grow the SIBO. So making sure that you're on the D-lactic acid-free probiotic and also, or just bifidus, one or the other. Hey, don't take just a general probiotic with SIBO. You can aggravate it.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Is there one that... Like a brand that you like?
Yeah, Custom Probiotics has one called D-lactic acid free, or just get something that's just bifidus. Because Lactobacillus acidophilus, that's one of the culprits, right? It's your good stuff that should be down in your colon is up there in your small intestine. So they're supposed to be making their way down. So another way with SIBO to take probiotics is not to bother doing the probiotics orally, is to just do it as an implant. So you do an enema, clear your colon out, and then you do like a 4-ounce retention with water and your probiotic. Then you can put whatever you want. I mean, assuming you have an intact ileocecal valve.
Oh, wow. So you can just do an enema, like do like a water enema, and then just like let that go through, and then just like open the probiotic capsule and put that in some water.
Absolutely, you put it in water just a little bit, and then you do the enema. You put the enema applicator. What do you call that thing? The probe up as high as you can. Mm-hmm. I use a very flexible one, so I don't have one of those hard ones. So it's a tube, so I can just thread that up. You want to get it up so that it just doesn't pour out. And then you lay on your back with your hips up so that it drains in. I'd still probably use the D-lactic acid-free ones at that point, just because in case your ileocecal valve is open, which is a very, very common in SIBO, the ileocecal valve is open and it allows a backflow. And there are some kinesiologic techniques. Some chiropractors know how to do that, is to close the ileocecal valve. You can even go on YouTube and look for a video on how to close the ileocecal valve. But the problem is oftentimes the ileocecal valve isn't doing what it's supposed to. So when food hits your stomach, the ileocecal valve is supposed to open to allow the contents of the large intestine to flow through to the small, and then it closes. But a lot of times that valve either gets stuck open and then you get backflow of the large intestine into the small intestine, or you get the like a constipation if it gets stuck shut, or you get a diarrhea if things keep going through. So the ileocecal valve is an important part of it, and I discussed that in the presentation as well. If you go to Green Cleanse, there's a thing in Green Cleanse in the I don't know, the boot camp for your bowels section, I think. But there's some, there's a section in the Green Cleanse Program Guide that talks about how to close your ileocecal valve.
Okay, thanks. I will look that up.
Okay.
And then with this retention enema, do you, I guess the water, do you heat the water ahead of time and then wait for it to cool and then put the probiotic in? Because I guess the hot water would kill off the...
No, 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 you don't heat, you know, you just put body temperature water.
Okay. So just like filtered, like room temperature water.
Filtered room temperature, you know, or warm enough that, you know, the 98 degrees isn't going to kill them because that's what your body temperature is.
Oh, yeah,
you want it
true.
To feel okay. neutral going in.
Yeah, not like shocking.
Not shocking cold and not shocking hot. You're like, going, oh, you don't want to burn yourself. That wouldn't be so hot. So nice.
And how often would you do these, like, retention, like the probiotic enemas?
You could do it every day, every other day. You could do it as often as you want. Or you could just do a, like, dump a whole lot of them in there. But the thing is, you know, the colon is so fluid, right? You want to, doing it regularly is going to be best.
Okay. And would I need to, so do that in addition to taking the oral probiotics? And would I need to time the enemas, like, around, like, if I'm taking this antibiotic 3 times a day, would it be better, do you think, to do, like, the retention enema at night? Or do you think timing matters?
I think it would probably be best to do it at night because then you've got the whole night for it to take effect because you're not going to be taking the antibiotic during the night while you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So I think your best bet is going to be at night.
Okay.
Right? And you could do this in addition to or instead of oral.
Mm,
and if you're
okay.
doing oral, with oral, you just want to do D-lactic acid free. You don't want to do the regular one that you're doing now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad that you told me about that because I was just kind of doing, I think I was using like the Health Force.
Yeah. Some people, that's the only thing they stop and their symptoms get better.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. That's really helpful.
You're welcome. Yeah. And as soon as I get this thing proofed, I'll put it up there. But if you go to SIBOinfo.com, she's got a similar chart. It's just she's got some stuff in there that I think is questionable, and I would take it out.
Okay.
This has some different size fonts, huh? That's why I give it to people to take care of. they'll make it pretty. It's just a different font. There we go. Anyway.
And like with the really restrictive diet at first, like doing all this stuff in the green section at first, like I noticed like some of those things, maybe a little bit like some of the fruits. Is this something that do I need to be worried about my blood sugar levels right now, or is it just finding foods that don't cause the symptoms and then once you heal the SIBO, like heal the digestion and then you can work on the blood sugar?
Well, the ideal would be to find stuff that's good for both. That would be
okay.
the ideal. Okay. But if the only foods that your body tolerates are foods that make your blood sugar go up, then I would deal with the SIBO first. And I would do your best and take more chromium and things like that to try to get the blood sugars down. Bursts, things like that. Okay. So go for the low glycemics first. I mean, obviously, if you're just doing berries, right? If you can just do berries, that's great. Do you handle berries okay?
I need to try them just by themselves. Because it seems like at this point, anything that I... Like even like I'll do like a chia seed porridge, like a blueberry chia seed porridge, and even that.
Yeah, well, chia seeds are in the no-no list for SIBO.
Mm. Okay, so I need to stop doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Let me just send you this. It's you know,
oh, and so are the cashews. Yeah, because I've been doing the cashew pudding and chia
yeah.
Seed
so
porridge.
You might just by following this, this might help a lot. This might help a lot. So let me say send. How do you do that? Oh, share. and email and send as attachment and to Laura. Let's see if you come up. Laura, no?
No.
What's your, what is it?
It's Aggie, A-G-G.
Oh, yeah, A-G-G. Oh, it's not coming up either. Yeah.
Oh, 1923@hotmail.com.
Well, I had to redo my, reinstall some of this. And so I think I lost a lot of my saved list. Okay, so there you go. Okay, for everybody else, that'll be loaded up. That'll be loaded up soon.
That will be helpful.
Okay. Let me just, yeah, it took me hours to do. It was like, no, that, not that, no, you know. But I at least had a good starting point. Let me just send it to her. Okay.
And even like coconut was something that came up on IgE testing. Is that something that I should, do I want to just try to avoid all evils right now? Kind of like with the blood sugar.
Yeah, I would avoid as many evils as you can, even if you just get down to a few things.
Okay. And this shouldn't be like a long, like how long would you recommend that I follow this? Because this isn't like a long-term.
No, you'd never want, and read my instructions when you get the thing. It talks about it. You
okay.
want to start, once you get stabilized, then you want to start introducing other stuff because it's not a good diet to stay on. But I just was reminded that we have another call and it's already 4:30, so I need to open up because
okay.
we probably have those people for the next call already coming on. So anyway, that chart will get loaded along with the SIBO presentation, and we're a little backed up because there's a lot of work to do right now, and we just hired some new people, so hopefully when they get on board, we'll be able to get these modules loaded. Yay! But everybody will get access to that very soon, and I'll be recording it soon, and I'm excited. It was really fun to put that presentation together. So thank you for asking all those questions. And
oh yeah, thank you.
Yeah. All right. You take care. Everybody, take
right,
care. This is the end of our INE call. And if you're here for the VLM office hours call, stay on the line. You're welcome to stay. Anybody that's on the INE call can stay for the VLM call. And we're going to go ahead and get that one started. So thank you. Bye.